like to discuss with you a shaila that came up this summer. It's not something I read by Rabbi Silberstein. It really happened. Those also really happened, but this really happened in my circle. And the mice was the following. There was a shul, it was actually a yeshiva, where somebody came and dumped a couple of boxes of shemis, of old svarim. They said that some great-grandfather or great-uncle died, and he had a lot of old svarim in the house, and the family, unfortunately, has no interest in it. And they brought it to a yeshiva. So the people in the yeshiva were looking through the boxes, and they found a Tehillim that was printed in Slonica. It was the second printing of Tehillim. And it's very valuable. They went to someone to assess it, and he said it's worth $11,000. At the end of the story, when collectors heard about it, they bid it up. They actually sold it for $17,000. It's one old Tehillim. So the shaila that I was asked was whether they have to go back to the person who brought the shemis and tell him that there was something worth a lot of money there, and he gave it to them b'tos. Had he known that there's something worth thousands of dollars, he definitely would not have dropped it off. And the meila, they would have to give the money back to the other person. Or, can the yeshiva keep the money? As soon as you hear the shaila, the end of the story has to be the yeshiva keeps the money, right? It's gotta be. Unless the yeshiva gives it back, and for that he becomes a baal tshuva, and one of those endings. So anyway, I was called, one of my sons is involved there, and they had two people in the yeshiva, I called two different rabbanim, and gotten opposite answers. So the question is what this depends on. When he called me initially, I told him Hefker B'Tos is not Hefker. I don't even think it's a Machlekes Rishayim. Hefker B'Tos is not Hefker, and it would seem that it was B'Tos and that it should be returned. But afterwards I thought about it and I realized that it's not that way. And I'll explain why. Is a Ramah in Chesha Mishpat, Simen Reish Lamed Beis Sif Yud Ches. And this Ramah is really what I want to share with you. It's a Chiddush Gadol. And it's what I'd like you to try to appreciate. The Ramah says the following. The Ramah says that if a sirsur, a middleman, he buys metal and he sells metal. He buys a bar of tin, bedil, and he sells it. So Yid walks in, he says, I need a bar of tin, so he gives it to him. And the Yid goes home, and when he scratches away the tin, he sees that underneath it's gold or it's silver. So he's very happy. Tin costs very little. He's paid very little for this bar of tin. And he scratches it up and he finds that it's gold, it's silver, it's worth a lot of money. So this Ramah, this Shaila, is actually in the Hagos Hashri, it's an old Maaseh Shehayah. It goes back 700 years ago. That the mice as it's brought down is that there was a traveling salesman who sold tin, and Reuven bought the tin, and then Shimon asked him to sell the tin, so Reuven sold it to Shimon, and Shimon discovered that it's gold underneath. He's a rich man, and Reuven said, "What are you talking about? It's a mekatos. I sold it. I sold you a bar of tin. I thought it's worth $5. Meantime, it's worth $5,000." So it's a mekatos. So Reuven is tiny, he wants it back. So how would you paskin? It's a no-brainer, right? It would seem. What do you say? Same as the Mekatas. Reuven sold. He sold a bar of gold. He thought it was a bar of tin. He sold it for $5. So the Ramah paskins that you don't have to give it back to Reuven. He says that when a person buys something, when a person purchases something, he only has a kinyan in the thing he buys to the degree that he knows it has value. If someone buys something and he thinks it's tin, he only has a $5 kinyan in this bar. He doesn't have a kinyan of gold in the bar. He only has a kinyan of the value of tin. And therefore, when he sold it, close him out, it's his, it's his. Whatever is there, it's his. But when he sold it, he sold whatever he had a kinyan in. And therefore, he has no right to the gold. He can't tie the mekatos, because he only owned it to the degree that he recognized its value. That's a tremendous chiddush in the Ramah. The Ramah paskens this way, nobody argues on the page of Shulchan Aruch. And he says, therefore, it's not a mekatos. Now, do you agree with me? Understanding Pshat of the Ramah needs a beer, but it's a Ramah. So I assume that the case is that the salesman is not traceable, or maybe by Goyim there's only Vayizos Hanis Miyaramitsu, there's no Mekatos, could be by buying from Goyim. So he doesn't even talk about the original salesman. But the psak is that Shimon keeps it. Do you agree with me that the case with these old Sfarim should be the same? The Yarshim inherited a couple of boxes. Yanki's saying no already. They inherited a bunch of old Sfarim. To them it's worth almost nothing. Nothing. It's just a pain in the neck. So they're only kind of the Sfarim to the degree that they know the Sfarim have value. To them, the Sfarim have no value, minimal value. And therefore, when they gave it to the yeshiva, they gave the yeshiva whatever they thought they had, that's what they gave. Whoever the Yerush was, sent him. I mean, why is Yerusha be different than buying it from a salesman? That's the difference.
They inherit automatically. It's not, you don't need to do
kinyan. That's what your tainus also. Right, there were two tainus on this dimyan, and I think they're both wrong. I'll tell you, the first taina, there was a different taina somebody had on this. Someone argued that maybe it's different. In the case of the tin, the gold is hidden. It's tumul. It's hidden. And this is my son's taina back to me, that in the case of the gold, it was hidden. So he thought he bought tin. In the case of the Sfarim, he saw what he got. He just didn't know it had value. He saw what he had. What?
It was coated with others.
I'll tell you the truth. I hear the taina. It's also Talmud. Okay, it could be, but my answer is that Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Pesachei Tshuva on this Ramah say beferish that even if it's not hidden, even if you buy, they say, a leichter, it's an old dusty leichter, you think it's made out of iron, and it's not hidden, it's just you don't recognize it. You buy a leichter, you sell a leichter, and there's nothing coated. They say who adin, it would be the same thing. They bring an avodah zarah shuli and ma'aseh shehaya. He says meshkaf rishayin only if it's hidden, and he says he found beferish in the levush even if it's not hidden. And kidayger b'stechul in the archa shulchan all the achrayim passed them this way. So the taina that it's hidden, not hidden, the poskim say beferish is not a taina. The second taina that I'm hearing from the left and the right is maybe it's different. When you buy something, you do the kinyan, so it's only to the degree you know it exists. Maybe when you inheritance is automatic. As you're saying, Yerusha is automatic. So maybe automatic. Maybe it's different.
There's a partial ownership even before his
Yerusha. No, before Yerusha belongs to the father.
There's a concept that some child still has some.
No. He doesn't have any rights to a period when the father's alive. The father gave it away. Maybe the father, maybe no, maybe no, I don't know. But I'll tell you, the answer to that is the makar of this Hagah Sashri is a Mishnah Nevel Metzias. So I have a third case, right? I have the case from the 21st century. We have the case from the 14th century, Hagah Sashri. Then we have the case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about someone who buys a house. And in the walls of the house, there's hidden treasure. Some previous owner, and the case is the snicker, it's not the one you bought it from. Some owner, it's 200 years old, what you find. You do renovations, you break down the wall, and you find hidden treasure in the wall. So you get the case, you buy a house, roommate sells the house to Shimon. Shimon buys the house, he makes a hole in the wall, he's renovating, and he finds the treasure in the wall. So Reuven says, Mekatos. It's not Reuven's. Reuven didn't put it in the wall. You could tell the money is 200 years old. That's the case. Reuven says, it's mine. Mekatos, I sold you the house. What about the value in the wall? So that's a Mishnah in Eilu Metzias. That nothing doing. The treasure belongs to Shimon. Says the money was there from the Canaanim, from the Amoraim, who were there yet by Kibush Haaretz. And Reuven is not kainit to give to Shimon. It's the third case, the same idea. I chatzeri shaladam is kainit without das. You see that this rule applies even by a kinyan that's chal without das. It's not only a kinyan that you kainit with das, even without das. Kinyan chatzer. But no, the kinyan that he made in the field, in the house, kinyan kesef, it's a nachal. You're telling me maybe it's only nachal when you do a kinyan. Kinyan and mevela, maybe
it's
different.
He's still doing a kinyan, even though it's not that, he's still doing the kinyan.
I know. So that kinyan, that kinyan doesn't work.
There's no kinyan in Yerusha.
That kinyan, well, his time was the other way. The Yerusha is better. He's saying Yerusha is worse.
No,
he's saying Yerusha is
better. Doesn't even need a kinyan.
It's automatic kinyan.
It's not an automatic kinyan.
That's true. Fine. Yesterday you didn't own it, today you own it. It's a real thing. It's a king that happens to be made of. So at any rate, this is my view at least. This is the a third case of the same idea. It's a chiddush gadol. You only kindness something to the degree that you recognize its value. If you buy something, you don't recognize its value. And you don't, if you know you don't recognize the value, you say I have to have it assessed, is one thing. But if you think it's worth a little, it's worth a small amount, you only claim it for the small amount, period. That's what you're saying. If he wasn't claimed it, then there'd be no idea. If he didn't own it, then there's no idea.
Yeah, the even though there's no das, something happened.
Chatzi Rusha, exactly the same. Kinyan Shlomi Das. So that extra money, it's sort of waiting to be nikna. Now, if he's not maknit, so you can't do anything, because if you're not creating the $5 value, you can't be creating just the extra value. But once it's sold, it's enough to sell it to the degree that he owns it.
I can have das in the chaser, should not be claimed, but I can't have das not be claimed in Rusha.
So sure. Anyway, this is my Havana in the case, and I believe the yeshiva went with that psak. That especially when the value shot up. Yes. Kiddush Hashem. Rav Druk told the story of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld found a Napoleon, somebody worth a lot of money, and the Yid was chaperoning him, Kiddush Hashem, you should give it back to Goyim. So Rav Druk used to talk about this. He offered the person, give me the value of the Napoleon, and you do the Kiddush Hashem. It's yeshiva money. It's not Kiddush Hashem to give it to the first Yid. Why is that Kiddush Hashem? You have to go look for the guy who originally sold it that way. Yeah, right. Now this Ramah, I heard the first time from Rav Gedalia Shor. In Dar Gedalio on Mayadim, on page 166, he doesn't bring the story that happened this summer, but he brings this din in Kinyanim that you only kind of something to the degree you recognize its value. How did he get it? He knew it was gold. He just forgot. If he knew it was gold, he forgot. That's an echo to us. Right. What? It has to be that he didn't know about it. Rav Shor said that in Kinyanei Torah, a person only has Kinyanim in things that he hopes to take to him, take with him, Lachamei of Esrim. He only has Kinyanim in his mitzvahs, his nice and toivim, his Torah and his tefillah, to the degree that he recognizes its value. To the degree that he's makir what it's worth. This idea, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz has in Sichas Musar, Parshas Toldos. He writes there that Esav sold the Bechaira for a bowl of beans. Esav sold the Bechaira for a bowl of beans. And Lamai said, say, no, it's not a Bechira. If you sell something that's worth a lot for a bowl of beans, that's not, it's a Mekartos. Esav didn't know what it's worth. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz says this part. He says Esav had the Bechaira only to the degree that he was makir its value. Only to the degree that he recognized what it's worth. Once I heard the same thing about the Maris Machpelah. Avram paid Arba Meis Kesav Eivel Asecha Maris Machpelah. He cheated Ephraim. Ephraim didn't know that Odom Machava buried there. If you didn't know that Machava buried there, you could have made it a sightseeing place. It was worth a lot of money. Same idea. Ephraim didn't know, when Ephraim bought it in the first place, he had no clue to its value. He only owned it to the value that he had. Esav only owned the Bechaira to the value it had. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz writes there, and it's scary. A person sits and learns. So for every hour of learning, he gets schar. How much schar you get for an hour of learning? Your Rebbeim told you, right? Very, 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 very much. Talmud Torah keneged kula. Talmud Torah is not only keneged any one mitzvah, keneged all the mitzvahs combined. Not only Talmud Torah is keneged the mitzvah, every word of Talmud Torah is keneged everything. The schar of Talmud Torah is great. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz writes that if a person gives up his hour of learning for $100, he has a seder, and he gives it up because he has a ticket for $100. He wants to go fight the ticket, so he gives it up for $100. That means he's assessing the value of his hour of learning to be $100. So Lachamei of Esrim will come to get schar for his learning. It'll be worth $100. That's what it's worth. Worth $100. Goes out in the middle of Seder to get himself a gewaldig coffee. What's the name of Shapa and Korean Levy? Starbucks? Dunkin' Donuts. He goes to Dunkin' Donuts, he gets himself a coffee. He loses half an hour of learning. So he comes to Shemayim, he says, you know, I learned for half an hour. They say, gewaldig, and they give him a coffee. So, what are you coffee now? I left my body behind. This is just my neshama. So, well, that's what it's worth to you. It's worth it, you know, you take You take, you knock off a seder to go get a coffee, so that's what it's worth to you. The value of something is to the degree that a person is makir its value. To the degree that a person recognizes it as value, that's the value that it has. I found this idea that I'm sure Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz say, I found that some sefer writes it in the name of his Rebbe, the Baal HaFla. It's some sefer on Rus. And by Rus, it says that Boaz told Rus, Yehei maskurtech shleima me'es Hashem. Yehei maskurt yoschar, for what you did, is complete, shleima me'es Hashem. So the HaFla asked, everybody gets schar shalem. God doesn't cheat people. Everybody gets schar shalem me'es Hashem. What's to Rus, Yehei maskurtech shleima me'es Hashem. So some sefer writes, b'shem his Rebbe, this idea. He says that to everybody, the ruchniyistika value of a mitzvah is whatever you assess it to be. Rus gave up what? She gave up that she could have gone back home. Her father was a king. Could have gone back home to money, to prestige, and honor. And instead, she came with Nami to go collect chitim from the floor in the fields in Eretz Yisrael. She assessed the value of going to be part of Klal Yisrael, Shleima Me'es Hashem. She recognized its value. She didn't give it up for a hundred grand. The value of something is according to the value that you place on it. According to the value you put on it, that's its value. When B'nai Torah have the years of opportunity to sit and learn, it's easy to miss the value. It's easy to miss because it doesn't go like it should work. You have to go out to work for a few years and then you learn and cut. You appreciate something a little more. Here, you go from kindergarten to pre-1A, to first grade. You know, some of you skip pre-1A. First grade, eighth grade, high school, Beis Medrash. It's sort of a schedule that still has the remnants of the kindergarten mentality. It really does. It's what you do during the day if there's nothing else important to do. The appreciation of every minute of a Seder Kavua is lost because of the way it comes up through the pipes. It really doesn't make sense. The system, the way it is, the way people are practicing it, it doesn't make sense. It can't be. How could it be that someone is coming to a Cheskes Avatim shouldn't be machshiv what he's doing as much as somebody that's going to whatever job he has doing numbers on an accounting firm? How could it be that in the neighborhood the people going to the accounting firm are down at 6 o'clock and 6:30 and 7 o'clock? You come to the 8 o'clock minyan and it's the guys who are sitting and learning. It can't be that way. It doesn't make any sense. Now some people are up till 2 o'clock the night before learning. Aruba de Aruba. It smells of a lack of chashivas of what you're doing. You're not machshiv that the learning is at least as chashiv as a job. At least as chashiv that people that have a job and a responsibility. Not machshiv it. It's hard. It's very, very hard to understand why it should be that way. Why we're used to a society that makes something that makes no sense. And we just live, we follow in the footsteps of a system that's wrong. It's wrong. If people who work are in shul at 7, then people who sit and learn have to be there 10 to 7. I've also noticed that for the 6 o'clock minyan, to be a Sar Rishonim, you have to come before 6. For the 8 o'clock minyan, you could come 10 after 8 and usually be a Sar Rishonim also, no? It comes to the same thing. You're not machshiv it. You're not machshiv it. That's what it's worth to you. It's a scary thing. It's a frightening thing. Now, I don't say that every person is capable of sitting many hours straight and learning. people, it's difficult. It's a challenge. But you have to be machshavit. You can't roll in at 10 o'clock and suddenly, if you're not machshavit, that's what it is. It's a not chashiv thing. It's not chashiv what you're doing. And just like it doesn't matter if you come 9 or 9:30 or 10 or 10:15, so it doesn't matter if at 10:15 it takes you 20 minutes to get started. Be machshiv what you have. You put value to what you have. Don't take something that's worth gold and trade it for tin. Tamatar keneged kulam and trade it for something that has minimal value. Can't be. If your mother says to you, the cleaning lady's coming today, we need someone to be with the cleaning lady, so tell her to call your brother who works in a law firm to take off from the law firm and be home with the cleaning lady. If the role is Isaac and Chayel and Isaiah, you're Isaac and Chayel and Abad. Should it be any less? We need to recognize the value of what we have. I'm not talking about more than we have, what we have. We have to recognize it's chashivus, it has a value, and live that way. Live that way. Live with goals, stick to them, and take it seriously, and we'll have a bigger chashivus. As a bigger chashivus, you'll be able to do it. There's a second nekuda. I want to talk to you about what it means to be a friend. What it means to be a friend. You'll notice in Chumash, in this week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, that when it talks about two Jews, the Torah doesn't talk about ish. By aveiros, it talks about ish. By fighting, ki kafish ish or bala osneya, it talks about ish. Ben Oma Chaveira, it talks about reyacha, amasecha, achicha. Remember this week's parasha, kisira shara achicha. It doesn't mean your brother, it means another Jew. It could be you never met him. Of a haftal reyacha kamaicha. A Jew is called reya, it's called a friend. What does friend mean? The Torah teaches two Jews as friends, even though you never met the person. You find Sharachicha, Bederach, you don't know Isaiah, you find Yidach, you don't know who's he on. The definition of a friend, Be'emis, a friend, somebody you like to eat pizza with, is also a friend. You spend time with him, you like to talk about sports with him, he's your friend. In English, he's your friend. The definition of a chaver, of a real chaver, is someone that you care about. There's some friends who you like the company that makes you feel good. It's nice, but it's not a chaver. It's not a reya. It's not an isefa. A person makes you feel good. Okay, like spending time with them because you feel good about it. It's wonderful, but that's not a chaver. A chaver is somebody that you care about him. There's a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis, Demai Perek Beis. He says, why are Tamidei Chachamim called Chaveirim? The Mishnah there. And El Chaver is a Talmid Chacham in Shas. So he writes, Chavrusam Zelaze Nemenes Kihi Chabura L'Shem Shamayim. Says a friend, someone that cares about you. A number of years ago, somebody came to the shir, El Osman, in Cheshvin, and in Teves, well, he wasn't here for a few days. So what happens? People not here, feel well. So someone came over to me and he told me, you know, this person, he's in the dorm, he's down, he's depressed, he's not getting up in the morning, he's missing minyan. And he was in the dorm and he was sleeping till noon. So I called him up. I called him up and I went to speak to him. And we spoke. Whatever happened, happened. But he came to me afterwards. He said, you know what happened? He asked me, how do you know? How did you know I was in the dorm? How did you know I was in bed? I said, so-and-so told me. He came back to me later and he said, you know, I was in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. And every year the same thing. I started El L'Cheshev, Cheshev L'Cheshev. And in the middle of the Kislev, you know, I bombed. And my roommates, they didn't do anything. I came here, this person called you, he said to me, I realize he's a friend. My dear roommates in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't friends. They let me stay in bed all night. He's a friend. He's a friend. He tattled it. It's true. A chaver is someone that you care about. And you care about. You let your chaver, you know, it's the old story. You have people who come to yeshiva, and, you know, their collars are inside out, or their head is crushed in the back, and they walk around, and nobody tells them anything. That's a friend. Friends walking around, that's a friend. I had this nice in shul with somebody who told me, a working person who came to learn in shul, he, in the morning, before he comes to shul, he takes a shower. After the shower, he uses Q-tips to clean out his ears. This really happened. Not in Zilberstein, it happened in shul. This fellow told me that morning he was cleaning out his ear and the phone rang or something. He walked to shul with the Q-tips sticking out of his ear. He said good morning to a bunch of people. And no one said anything. When he put on his tefillin shorai, he realized he got a Q-tip sticking out. So he asked me, what kind of friends are these? They've been walking around with a Q-tip sticking out of my ear. Nobody says anything. That's a friend? He's right. There's no friends in shul. Nobody's his friend. No, you see a guy walking around with a Q-tip. Imagine, you have a friend. He's going on a date. As the car pulls out, you see smoke billowing out of the tailpipe. Your friend, you'll tell him, no? A friend cares about the other person. The Torah doesn't make light of chavishavt, of chaveirim. It counts as something. The idea that yidna chaveirim zelazav, after l'reicha kamachi, you see another from you. Certainly a from you, for sure, certain. You have to be a chav, you have to care about him. You have chavrusis here in yeshiva. You have friends here in yeshiva. Would you go over and hurt him? Would you go over to him and rip his suit for no reason? Of course not. You're a friend. Could it be that he's sitting and learning, and you walk over and sit down and schmooze with him? You steal from him the learning. Could it be? Could a chaver do such a thing? The learning is the value you give it. If to you it has no value, shmooze about Narishkeit and take away. I'm talking about a Seder Kavua. We're not Malachim, we're not Stiplers. We don't count the minutes we waste. But a Seder Kavua. Could you hurt somebody like that? Who come Lachameh Vesrim? Who wants Schar for first Seder? And instead of giving him a coffee, they'll give him you to shmooze with him about the Yankees the whole day in the Mesifta Derekia. That's what it's going to be worth. That's what you're doing. You're hurting him. If you have to shmooze, so go outside. That's why the yeshiva has non-Jews employed in the yeshiva. Go over to one of them and shmooze with one of them. Shmooze with them. Why are you taking somebody who's sitting and learning and shmoozing with him? Yeah, what damage are you doing to him? A chaver cares about someone else. If you have a friend you don't care about him, that's not a real friendship. If somebody gets married because the person he marries makes him feel good, that's not a marriage. It's a marriage if you care about the person. If you care about the other person. If the other person has failings, and you care about those failings, you try to help the person. That's marriage. That's chaveirim. It's a reya. You know what bikur chaylam means? People tell you, translate bikur chaylam, visiting the sick. It's not really correct. Bikur is not visiting. It says when they brought an animal in the Beis HaMikdash, they had bikur behemus. They were mevaker, the animals, before they shechted it. They didn't go visit the animals. They checked if the animal had mumin. They took the animal and they checked the animal. Bikur chaylam, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is to go to a chayla and see what he needs. That's bikur chaylam. To see what he needs. See what he's missing. A chaver is someone who cares about the other person. You care about your chaverim. How can you steal from them something of extraordinary value? So I'm telling you, when you heard over the years, fifth grade and seventh grade and ninth grade, you're a Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. And the Gros says, each word of Torah is Keneged Kula. So, you know, sixth grade, the Rebbe says, you know, an Omer Gemara is this many words, it's like you did 100,000 mitzvahs. Why is the Gros busy with this? Because you have to recognize the value of what you have. You want it to be that, you have to recognize its value. We have Siddurim Kavuim. It's a very short Siman. We have 2 full weeks. And then Rosh Hashanah week and Sefer Yetshuva, which the way it comes out this year, is a couple of days of Yeshiva. There aren't many days leading up to the Yom HaDin. Let's buckle down. Let's try to do it. I don't know if we can do it all year. You know, when you disappear in Kislev, somebody will tell me. But right now, it's Elzman. It's Elzman. It's already, what are you, Gimel, Dalet. We're your Dalet El. And, you know, the Balei Tefillah, Rosh Hashanah, are starting to practice. People of Blow Shofar are starting to practice. Let's start to make it. This man, we were machshiv the things we have. We're machshiv. It's worth $17,000. Don't think it's Seamus that goes nowhere. If it's gold, don't think it's tin. If it has value, don't think it's nothing. Don't act like it's nothing. So I ask you for this man, as I asked you before, to find a way to stay in the yeshiva from 9 to 6. To stay here, don't go home in the middle of the day. All it does is cause a lot of wasted time, the going and the coming, and one day you come back. I ask people what time they come back. They tell me a number, which is, they never get there that time. Whatever time they say, it's always later. Stay here straight. Try to stick to the 6 days a week, including Erev Shabbos. I'm Lamed Sliss, the people who are not here today. I'm assuming the families are still in the country. I can't imagine 7 in the morning, Shabbos is 7 p.m. What are they doing for 12 hours? Come to yeshiva, you have something. You don't come to yeshiva, but yeah. Try to buckle down to make it a great Elzman. And Cheshvan, I'll tell you to make it a great Cheshvan. But right now, we only have the Elzman. Let's try to make it happen, make it work, be machshim the things that you have. Good Shabbos.